All right, so this is episode 43 from SecurityInfoWatch.com, and I'm your host, Jeff Cole, for the SIW Radio podcast series. And the evening program for the night is day one, as is 2009. If you want to track, see what's going on at as is, of course, you can hit our SecurityInfoWatch.com, head to our trade shows section under Special Reports tab, and then once you're in the trade shows page, click on as is 09, and you'll get to see a look at all the news we've been covering. Plus, we've got a look at all the new products that are being announced at this show. And let me tell you, there are a lot. I just saw a tweet, a Twitter message from IPVideoMarket.info's John Hovich earlier, noting that in comparison with ISC West 2009 to ASIS 2009, there are way more products being introduced here at ASIS. And I think I would agree with John Hovich on that. Okay, so let's cover some of the other things that that we've been seeing here at the show. Let's see. Sunday night had a great event with the folks from FLIR. These are thermal imaging. You know, FLIR stands for forward-looking infrared, I believe. And this is a thermal imaging company that's actually kind of getting beyond thermal imaging, which is one of the interesting stories from FLIR that's going on. They are have tied in with a company called Salvador Imaging, which is out of Colorado, that does EMCCD. I believe that's electromagnetically charged coupling device. CCD, of course, is the standard guts of a camera. So they've got a new camera out that really pushes the limits of color visible video without using infrared, and it really gets into the low light scenario. Pretty interesting stories that they've got to tell. The other story from FLIR coming out really is that seen a lot of drop in their price points of their technologies, and then not only that, but also in the form factors getting smaller. So cheaper and smaller means more adoption, so I think good times ahead for thermal imaging. To put it all in perspective, according to, I believe, their the president of their commercial vision division, that's Andy Tyke, they saw a 15% growth during during the year of the down economy. So that's pretty strong growth for a pretty tough time in the economy. And again, that's folks to commercial systems. All right, so that's FLIR for you. Let's see. Monday morning, kicked the show off, caught up with Security Technology Executive Magazine's Paul Rothman, their managing editor, and their editor-in-chief publisher, Steve Lasky. Got to say hello to their convergence editor, Ray Bernard of Ray Bernard Consulting Services. Great guy to know. If you don't know him, check him out. Google Ray Bernard Security Consulting, and I'm sure you'll be able to track him down. Headed over to the Sanyo booth after that. Sanyo is showcasing 9 new high-definition IP network security products, PANs, right? So everything from pan-tilt zoom, such as 8.264, 1080p pan-tilt zoom, to box cameras, to box cameras with integrated lenses, to standard fixed cameras. They are using they are using Fujinon's lenses. They're liking those. Of course, lenses really matter when you start talking about these high-resolution cameras. Anyway, pretty impressive product line that they've rolled out here, they're definitely putting their stake in the ground when it comes to high definition IP video. So it was just a space that obviously we've seen a lot of leverage from already with companies like Sony. Speaking of which, Sony, of course, headed over there, caught up with folks like Amato and Mike McCann. These guys are pretty sharp. They are hitting out with their fifth generation of their IP video products, and their stuff is really looking good. It's really hard to tell on a trade show. The place is so well lit that sometimes your camera doesn't even need a flash. But the video does seem pretty good. They've got new products out, including cameras, new PTZs. They've got a couple more products coming out on the horizon line for January that they're showcasing there, so it's well worth stopping by. They're also showcasing some new encoders, new rack mount encoder systems for moving your analog video over onto the network. And those encoders feature some pretty cool things, including some technologies really for improving the video quality coming out analog. Talking with with Mike. I think he's really looking forward to really pushing the limits to see how far he can improve standard analog camera video by pushing it through Sony's encoders, not only out there now, but of course in the future generations as well. So again, Sony, as you all know, definitely already had their stake in the ground in high definition HD video. Enjoy the background brewing right now. It's late, and we are brewing cups of coffee to keep the Security InfoWatch team motivated right now. So, all right, headed over to, after that, caught up with the folks from SecuriNet. This, of course, is a group of about 16 integrators maybe more now. They may be pushing 20 for all I know. But it is an integrators alliance, basically, to take some of the regional or large local integrators and sometimes some of the large regional integrators, put them together so that they can really service not only national but also even global accounts. And it was interesting to talk to them about some of the things that they're seeing. One of the things I really picked up on is to hear about how integrators are really starting to do managed services for video systems, which includes, such as health checks on, video system statuses. And I presume that they're probably also doing this for access control systems as well, any other integratable security management type of platform. But getting a little business there, doing health checks. These guys are, it's interesting, they're using some social media to connect their group here at ASIS to keep pointing their members, so if one finds a pretty neat thing, recommends the other guys see, they're using the social media to track all that down. Okay, let's see, over at Axis Communications, of course, they've been in the IP camera business for 10 years, probably longer, I'm guessing, than any other company on the show floor. New cameras, new technologies as well. One of the things that they're really hot about, though, interestingly, is technology for improving the installation time on these cameras, which I think, to go by a company like Axis, and then I see new products. I mean, I don't want to discount that, but to have them talk about, spend some time focusing on some of the things that they're doing to make it easier to install these cameras, that I think really shows the maturity there. It's beyond the, hey, we got to prove the value of IP video or network, video surveillance. It's pretty much a done deal, I think. They're seeing as, the market understands that, and we are going to roll with it. And now let's talk about the stuff that really gets it done, the stuff that gets these cameras into the field. So that's, I think, kind of encouraging probably for the IP video market as a whole, just to have that kind of conversation go on at a company like Axis Communications. Caught up with Coco today also, and this afternoon they had a press conference featuring their new tie-in with Cisco. They're going to be doing basically some sort of a little bit of partnership with Cisco, where Cisco will be using some of Pelco's Cerex cameras. Of course, these are two California companies. It's no secret that the companies have been working together quite a bit lately, and especially over this last summer. I think we covered that before on Security InfoWatch. But this, I think, really represents some partnerships between the companies. There were some folks that said, this is Cisco giving up, you're just yielding in the video surveillance market. I can see how people are saying that, but I really don't think that's necessarily the case. I never saw Cisco as really going after the kind of mass camera manufacturing market that like a Pelco has, or that a Bosch has, or Sony, or even a Sanyo, or whomever out there. I think when you looked at, especially when you look at this Pelco Cisco deal, I think what Cisco wants to do is to create hooks into some of these big camera manufacturers and maybe be able to move them into some of its own services, perhaps MediaNet. And if you don't know what that is, Google Cisco MediaNet. It's an interesting technology that, Cisco is developing, and it's basically sort of a Cisco platform standard, I guess it would be the best way to describe it, for managing in terms of how, you know, videos move across the company. Okay, let's see. Over at some of the other booths that we hit today, IQ and Vision, of course, these are megapixel camera this is a megapixel camera company. New products out. They're out with the it's the 1080p camera. And that P is the progressive, interestingly, progressive scan. So it's one thing you'll see a lot on the show floor a lot is the P, you know, 720p, 1080p. That's the progressive scan. Human Vision, it took them a while before they got into the H.264 bandwagon that's been kind of been overhyped and promoted around the industry. I had a really good chat with Paul Bedell there and reading some notes that he's put together that are also that are available on their website that really kind of break down the H.264 concept and explains it in a pretty practical manner when you should use that and when it's really when H.264 is not right. Because here's the deal, you know, H.264 is one more tool in your video surveillance chest, and a screwdriver is not always the tool that you need. Sometimes you need a hammer, sometimes you need a plier, sometimes you need electrical tester. So pick the right tool, and I think that was kind of Paul's main consideration there. Headed by Brevo as well, of course. You know, Brevo's really made some very strong advancements, and probably is the biggest champion out there in the industry right now in terms of cloud computing and software as a service and hosted applications. Of course, they're doing hosted access control, now hosted video. If outsourcing that kind of stuff and you know making panels available over the web for control is of interest to you, I'd check out Brevo. I think they've been a good story to tell, and it's certainly they're they are in terms of the quote cloud, they are one of the leaders in that. Okay. Let's see what else is happening. Bounce by the Verint booth. Verint when I swung by there, they had the folks from Starbucks in their booth, and they have are really angling a lot these days at that retail market space. It's one of their big ones, I should say. And they have notably, they've recently worked with Best Buy on some analytics. Obviously, a pretty high tech company there, and so pretty notable what they're doing. You know, not only just doing full integrated video and enterprise video for these companies or companies like Best Buy, but also trying to unveil their analytics for retail applications there. So I think part of the Verint story is analytics being applied beyond pure security usages. Okay, let's see, other notes from the day. We've got Paul Rothman, mentioned him earlier, from Security Technology Executive, headed by and caught up with Jason Oakley, the CEO of North American Video. North American Video, aka NAV, has been really well known in the casino gaming video surveillance space, having done such projects as the Wynn Macau and certainly a lot of the casinos there in Vegas. He came aboard, I guess, about 18 months ago to NAV and has really tried to refocus that company beyond simply being gaming, which is always their strong suit, and try to diversify them. He told Paul Rothman that they've dedicated over 6,000 hours of training for their staff already this year, and really training beyond that. Rothman asked Jason today one of the things, what really enabled you to go from the casino space to these other verticals, to say banking or really any vertical, and for Jason's credit, he said that really they were used to being regulated in the casino market, so compliance issues and that sort of thing really gave them the discipline that then they can apply that discipline over to whether it's the federal systems market or banking or whatever. So some strong applications there. HID has got a lot going on at this show. Joel Griffin has an article on the site covering Denny's, their CEO's presentation today at a lunchtime meeting. They are doing, let's see, they are, I've unveiled their Genuine HID line, which our Genuine HID sort of marketing, which is basically showcasing the partners that whose technology, you know, uses HID technology, and it sort of guarantees sort of a card-to-reader compatibility. So it's basically an endorsement to say this stuff is good stuff. All right, Vicon, some new stuff out, always some new products at these shows. One of the things that they're really showing, of course, though, is also that they're, you know, really pushing the Vicon into the integrated security management systems with, you know, with access control, really taking Vicon from beyond being a pure video play company. So check them out. They're right there in the middle of the show, 2511. All right, GE Security, caught up with Tom Cashman and also Ted, and bear with me, I'm forgetting your last name, from their fire and emergency communications division. We had a really interesting chat just about, you know, GE's really, is really, Tom thinks they've really, you know, pulled together a pretty complete video product line and then tied it in with their access, you know, control systems via their facility commander. And then his really started to pull together a full video product. All right. On the fire side, we had an interesting chat talking about, you know, where fire meets mass, you know, communication systems, mass notification. Of course, NFPA is out with standards and basically is pushing for, with their, you know, their standards for that to be, for mass notification to be part of the, tied in with the fire system and be part of the fire codes. That's probably going to fly if what NFPA has done in the past is any indicator. Certainly companies like GE think that that's definitely the case and are going in that direction. But one of the chats we had was about intelligibility. I raised the point that, you know, look, we've got all these founders out there. Were they really designed for intelligent, you know, audio instructions such as do not or exit the building or, you know, exit, do not use stairway A? Well, I mean, these sounders were designed to throw tones out that sound like alerts that just startle you to get you moving out of the building. Well, now all of a sudden you want to put a little more intelligence into it. You want to tell people what to do with the mass notification system. And then you all of a sudden have to have intelligibility to the sounds that are coming out of there so that the human voice or instructions, whatever is pre-recorded, can actually be heard by people in a panic situation potentially. That changes a couple things. It could potentially change the notification devices that are being installed. It's certainly already started to change how many of these devices and where people are putting them in. Whereas you might be able to get by with a certain number of audio notification devices every X number of feet, now you may need more. So pretty interesting stuff going on there with that. One of the other things that I was able to do today was to go by the HD CCTV Alliance, and this is, of course, high-definition CCTV. Now, I mentioned a little earlier in this podcast program about HD cameras coming out from companies like Sanyo and Sony, and there's so many more, of course, out at the show. Those are just two that I was able to stop by today. HD CCTV is different. When you talk about Sanyo's HD cameras and Sony's HD cameras, these are IP cameras. These are network cameras. Well, HD CCTV has almost nothing to do with that. In fact, generally the attitude that I got from the booth today was that there's no reason for most companies to ever go to IP video. That's what basically the crew from the HD CCTV Alliance is promoting. What they want instead is for people to take that analog infrastructure and upgrade it. Okay, now here's how it works. You rip out the cameras, not all the cameras. If you want higher resolution in one analog camera, take that camera out, put in an HD CCTV camera, and they're writing the specs for these cameras, that sends high definition video over coaxial cable and basically serializes it at the camera, sends it over that cable, and then takes a special card and a PC-based DVR or just embedded DVR, and then reconverts that signal so that you can get well beyond what your what your current analog limitations are. That means you need to swap out the cameras that you want higher resolution on, so you got some cost there. Also means you're going to have to swap out your DVRs. In terms of that, and of course you don't have to swap out all this stuff, but you know, just on where you want to use it. Now, what that does is it does increase in cost, and the DVRs can be 1.5 to 2 to even up to 6 times more costly than a standard DVR. And obviously the camera is going to be a little bit more expensive than a standard analog camera, but you do get you know, high definition video out of an analog system without without having to you know, rip and replace the whole system and go to like IP video. Pretty interesting concept. I am not sure I fully understand it yet, but check them out at booth 672. If you want more information, and send us an email at securityinfowatch. You can email us podcast at securityinfowatch or editor at securityinfowatch.com or editor at securityinfowatch.com and share us your thoughts. We're still trying to get our heads around this whole concept. It's just now coming available. The products are just now starting to be shown. And, yeah, we'll have more on that as we cover it. So, all right, this ends episode 43 of SIW Radio. The security podcast from securityinfowatch.com.